original way, the original way of davening, before tefillah was formalized, we have a way of tefillah that the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, that there's an hashtalshelus of what led eventually to the formulation of tefillah. And of course, we all have to stick to that. And we daven shachris mincha maariv. However, that original way of davening was never lost to Am Yisrael. It was lost to Am Yisrael on a larger scale as part of the practice of the Haman Am to speak personally and privately outside of the context, the mezgeris, of tefillah, of the regular times of tefillah. But it was something that was preserved by Avdei Hashem. It's not a Breslover inyan. Rabbi Nachman, of course, lifted that up and made it the centerpiece of his avodah and what he taught the Chassidim, Chafetz Chaim, Chassam Sofer, the Rambam's son, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, and the whole world of the descendants of the Rambam. There's a remarkable sefer that's written by Rabbi David Maimini, Hamaimini. He was the seventh generation for the Rambam. There's a whole Masorah that we have from the world of the Rambam, of his Bodhidus. There's a Sefer, a manual of his Bodhidus, from a seventh generation descendant of the Rambam. It's very hard to get. I was able to get one 2 years ago. Somebody arranged for it. It's very hard to get. So there's a Masorah of going back to the original way of davening before it became formalized in the words of the Anshei Knesset Gedola. And over the years, the siddur has gotten fatter and fatter. The machshir has gotten enormous. Then when you put the English in, it's gotten huge. But that way of speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, levad, his bodhus, of course, is in the word levad. That is a way of tefillah that's been preserved through the generations by the big Avdei Hashem, by Gedolei HaAvdim. It's not a chassidish practice. Davke, it's not a Sfadish Davke, it's not a Litvish. It's a practice of Am Yisrael from the beginning. There are guidelines of how to enter into that world. It's extraordinarily powerful in helping a person develop a relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, which is largely missing. Many people are worried that if they engage in his bodhidus, that it's going to be somehow at the expense of their regular davening. The truth is that his bodhidus energizes shachris mincha maariv in the most unbelievable way. Anybody that does this on a regular basis, converses, speaks to Hashem Yisbarach in his own words on a regular basis, finds that over time it has a tremendous impact on all of his tefillah. And all of davening. Now, how does one go about doing this? So, there are, Baruch Hashem, there are wonderful things that are available. I'm not going to go through step by step how to begin it. It also follows a certain mahalach of shevach v'hodoyat Hashem. One doesn't begin out of the blue. I mean, sometimes you're in a lot of pain, and you can just go and start screaming and yelling. But there's a mahalach that was revealed to us through Chazal of how to formulate all of our tefillahs, whether they're with the siddur or whether they're personal, to begin with shevach v'hodoya, to make requests, to end with hakaras hatov and thanks. So there are basic, there's a basic seder to his bodhus as well. There's a wonderful sefer that came out 2 years ago, written by Rav Carmel. It's a big Talmud Chacham from Breslov on this subject of his bodhus, called Eshboch Lefonov Sichi, I believe. I mean, I have it at home. I went to it, I think that's the title. Eshboch Lefonov Sichi, where he there goes step by step through the whole mahalach of his bodhus. As far as the tradition of where it comes from, this sefer by David Maimini, Hamaimini, which is, I can't remember the title right now, I have it at home and I'm happy to show it to you. There, the people that put it out, it's a small sefer. The actual sefer is maybe 60 pages, which is a manual for Hasbodedus. The introduction to that sefer, it was written by some Chavonai Tzitzel, has the whole history of Hasbodedus, all the way down to Chazanish and Chavetz Chaim and so on. Like many good things in Klai Yisrael, there are many, many good things in Klai Yisrael that because a certain part of Klai Yisrael raised it as a banner, and there are other parts of Klai Yisrael that don't like that part of Klai Yisrael, so it would be rejected offhand. Instead of seeing what the Inyan is, it's associated with that particular group. And as I said, not that there's anything wrong, Chalila, with one attaching himself to the Tzaddik Yisrael Adlam Terebi Nachman, but that's not for everybody. But his Bordus is for everybody. Chavetz Chaim, everybody that came to Chavetz Chaim, he would speak to about that. Speaking to Hashem Yisburach outside of Shachas Min Chamar, developing a Bekeshin. In our times, Hashem Yisburach sent different tzaddikim to the world. One of them is the author of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Some of you are familiar with this svarim. There's many, many svarim. The svarim of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna are also an introduction to the avodah of Levad. Levad, being alone with Hashem, is about this. Levad. And how to get used to that, how to come into that. I don't know if this answers the question at all, because I'm not going into the pratim of how to do that. Zil, v'idach, zil, gmar. In English, there's a friend of mine, Rabbi Ozer Bergman, who wrote a very good sefer, I think it's called, it's in English, Earth Kisses Heaven, Heaven Kisses, some of you might know, I don't remember the English, again, the title. Also, a manual to introduce a person to his avodas. Once somebody gets used to it, it's hard to live without it. Mamish, like, it becomes such an important part of a person's day. And if you're not used to it, it sounds weird. You know? Unfortunately, many of the cheva that were not introduced to it properly, they think it's about a couple of cute and crazy nanach screaming in a forest or something. It's chaval. They gave Rabbi Nachman a bad reputation. You know, that's not what his bodhis is about. Those people mostly need therapy. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Just sort of piggyback on what Yoni asked, not to ask about prepping, just saying, like here in the Shem of Hashem, there's like many different relationships we have with him, Mitzade, a king, father, lover, many different Mishalim. I was wondering, and this is especially relevant for what Yoni asked in terms of praying outside of his garret of regular tefillah, is it a meaning when we're speaking to Hashem and interacting with Hashem throughout our day? Is it the case that we always need to maintain a certain distance that's appropriate with like the reference of like a king or a mitzvah or even to a father to a certain extent or at some moment. While the aspects, those distant aspects or like those sort of reverent aspects exist, is it also potentially appropriate to sort of share with Hashem and like experience with Hashem like very, very mundane things that you wouldn't even have a havamina to discuss with someone who is like some Roma, but you would discuss with say like a close friend or a lover or whatnot and like that dialectic exists, but does that dialectic leave room for like certain lower stuff.
Excellent. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Bezalel.
I can see Bezalel is a chashuv person. Just by the way you said that, it was very becoveting. The Gemara brings the pasuk Al Zosius Palo Kol Chasid La'Eis Mitzvah. It says in Tehillim, Al Zosius Palo Kol Chasid La'Eis Mitzvah. For this, every chasid davens at the time that it is to be found. It's interesting, what does that mean? The Pasuk in Tehillim, Azosis Pal Chazal Eis Mitzo. So there are different shittas of what that means, L'Eis Mitzo. One holds that it's talking about a wife. That Azosis Pal Chazal is to get married, because we see that there's a lashon of Mitzia by marriage. And there are other shittas in the Gemara. There's even one that says to daven when it comes to how things go in the Beis Akiza. So Ibn Nosson writes about this opinion in the Gemara, meaning that a person we make a bracha after the bathroom, and there are people, unfortunately, for whom that's not easy, and they have illnesses that make that even painful, or the desperately need for their health to be able to go to the bathroom. And the Gemara is saying, the simple pshat is, that la'eis mitzvah means, Reb Nosson explains, afilo beis akisa. That's what the Gemara says, afilo beis akisa. So Reb Nosson explains that afilo beis akisa is saying that you can't get more mundane than the beis akisa. I mean, maybe nowadays there are things that are lower than that, but traditionally that was like one of the lowest places we could think of. So Reb Nosson says that la'eis mitzvah, that opinion, afilo beis akisa, is saying that even though, of course, generally speaking, there is some distance, and so of course, so we have to be careful to remember that he's b'shamayim v'anachnu ba'aretz. We have to keep that and remember that. Nevertheless, what Reb Nosson explains is la'eis mitzvah is teaching us that when it comes to tefillah, means that when there's something that's me'ik es libo, there's something that's pressing upon the heart, what defines a true relationship is that at that moment all the formalities are dropped. All the formalities disappear. Of course, you know that in our davening, Avinu Malkeinu, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sar Sacha, Mekarvenu Malkeinu L'Avodah Sacha. And as you said, Bitzal, of course, that there are other relationships. Hal Shir Hashem, there are other relationships. With the exception of a king, all of those relationships mean that, and on some level, even with a king, which is discussed in the Sfasemus Nar Psalim, but certainly with a father, and with a lover, a wife, Chasam Kala, that at a moment of desperation, even less than desperation, the barriers and all the formalities fall away. And were there to be formalities, it would mean that the relationship is not one of intimacy. Hashem Baruch wants us to be intimate in our relationship with Him. That doesn't mean that we could take certain liberties in our davening, and that's why, as I said to Yoni, that, well, to everybody, but as far as Yoni's question, even when it comes to his bodhidus, you know, it has to be done in a bekavadik way. But as I said, that if a person is terrified or a person is frightened, I feel a ganva pumachtarta, the Gemara says, that even a ganav, right? The Gemara talks about a ganav. Gemara Bava Metzia says that a ganav is climbing in the machteris in some basement. He's figuring out a way how to steal. Afilo ganva po machtarta rachmana karya. He calls out to Hashem, please, please, they shouldn't hear me. The balabos shouldn't catch me. I should be matzliach in my ganavis. So the Alter Rebbe talks in time in Tani, but look at the Torah a lot about that. That when it comes down to it, this ganav, what this ganav is doing is against Ratzon Hashem. He's going to do an aveir. The Gemara says, "Afilo ganva pumachtar derachman akariyah," means that when he's desperate, he calls out to Hashem. And the Aramaic term for rachmana is extremely endearing. It's a lashon of ahava, like the Navi says that Am Yisrael, the Navi Hosea, Ruchama, low Ruchama. We think that we're low Ruchama, but we are Ruchama. That means, as the Radak says, that Hashem adores us, He loves us. And therefore, Rachman Nekari means that even this Ganav, when he's in trouble, his heart bursts and he cries out to Hashem to help him. It's without all the hakdamas, without all the formalities. It's a simon of whether you are somebody that's truly in love with Hashem. That you can, not on a regular basis, you have to be careful how, but when there are times that you can drop all of the formalities and you could speak to Hashem, Mamish, like it says in the parasha, Kedabi ish al re'eyu. It's Feish and Chumash. Panim al panim. Kedabi ish al re'eyu. That's how Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and how Moshe Rabbeinu related to Hashem. This Kedabi ish al re'eyu. And the Svar Makdashim are filled with Mar Mekarmis from the Zohar HaKadosh. It's the whole Lashon of the Zohar HaKadosh. Is this lesson of Kedabi Ish El Re'eyu, of how to relate to Hashem. That doesn't mean that, God forbid, we're to become Kale Rosh when taking these opportunities. But it certainly means that it's part of what a real relationship of love means. Dialogue. Pouring out one's heart. Hesbroch lefanav sich, the whole Tehillim. You find by David Malach that he drops left and right. He drops the formalities of Tefillah. The one who contributed so much to our Tefillahs, who said about himself, "Vani Tefillah." It's wild. Tehillim is wild. Mamish wild. Tzomel chanav shi kamel chabesari beziyavai. It's mamish wild. Are we allowed to continue in that way? The answer is yes. That's a hurrah. David HaMelech gave us a pischan peh to turn to Hashem. Chasam Kalu, a child that's frightened. There's a mice with the Baal Tanya that when the Tzemach Tzedek, when his grandson was very little, you all heard of the Tzemach Tzedek, I'm sure, when he was very little. So He went into his grandfather, and there were many Jews, of course, that were waiting to speak to the Baal Tanya, but Mendel ran in, and he jumped onto the Alter Rebbe's lap. He's a grandson. He jumped onto the Alter Rebbe's lap, and he grabbed the Rebbe's beard, and he said, "Zaydi." And the Alter Rebbe said, "Nay, doesn't it, Zaydi? Doesn't Zaydi's board?" You understand the Yiddish, so you don't have to, it's almost all English. That's not Zaydi, that's Zaydi's beard. The little boy, he was confused. So then he put his hands on the Alter Rebbe's stomach. And he said, "Zaydi." And the Alter Rebbe said, "Nay." The Alter Rebbe was a Litvak, you know that. He used to call him the Litvak in Mezuzah. So he says, "Zaydi." So Alter Rebbe says, "Nay, does it's not Zaydi's boch." That's not Zaydi, it's Zaydi's stomach. So the kid, so he grabs him on the face. Zaydi, he says, "Nay, this is not Zaydi, this is Zaydi's upon him." Okay, so he climbed off the lap. That wasn't such a warm encounter. The kid was trying. It didn't work out. I mean, the Alter Rebbe was like being medayik, you know, with him. To teach him something. So the little boy, Mendel, the Talmud Tzedek, was a little genius, you know. He wasn't a regular kid. So the Tzemach Tzedek goes off in the Zaydi's lap, and the Rebbe is busy with somebody. The person was in line for Yechidus, and the Alter Rebbe is talking to him something. And the little boy goes over to the door, and he puts his finger inside the door, where it closes. And he makes believe that he was closing by mistake. The door closed on his finger. And he gives a shry, he gives a scream. He says, "Zaydi!" And the Tanya sees him standing by the door with his finger in the door, and he jumps up and he pushes the man away and he runs off, "Mendele, Mendele!" And then the Tzemach Tzedek smiles and he says, "Das ist Zaydi. That's Zaydi." It's a Merdeka Maisa. The Nekuda Salev is Zaydi, you understand? It's true, this is Zaydi's beard, this is Zaydi's face, this is Zaydi's stomach. But who is Zaydi? Zaydi is the one who is. When a Jew is in pain, comes running. Understand? Das hei Zaydi. That's Zaydi. That's Zaydi. When a person is in pain, or when a person is feeling extreme joy, if the formalities are not dropped, then he's not a Avinu Shebishamai. He's not a Avinu Shebishamai. He's a king. In every single bracha, the Tanya explains how in every single bracha, we say Baruch Ato Hashem and Elokeinu Melech Olam. The Rav spoke about this as well. As you know, the Rav is a big Talmud of the Baal Tanya. In every bracha we have Baruch Ato. Baruch Ato means very informal. Very informal. Ato. You. There's no sweeter word in all of our davening than the word Ato. That a Jew is able to say to Hashem, Ato. You know, in many languages you have words for you that are, when you speak to an important person, you don't say you. You don't say you. American. English is a very chutzpahdika language. Because Americans are very chilled, you know. But in other languages, you have, even in Yiddish, you have ear. Ear is a language of chashivas. You don't say, but you speak in the third person. That a Jew is able to say such a thing, he's able to turn and to say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Ato, Ato. There's no sweeter word in the world. But then after you say the word Ato, so then you remember what that means, and you get a little bit scared, and then it's Melech HaOlam. You know, then, well, I was getting a little bit, I took some steps a little bit too close, maybe, and the person gets frightened. But it's very much connected to what Yoni is. The more a person engages in his bodhidus, the more he discovers the intimacy of a relationship of Ata, and the more he feels how Hashem Yisborach Kivyochel has the greatest nachas from that. Rav Kluger from Eretz Yisrael, some of you might be familiar with this svar, wrote a tiny little sefer that's filled with elokus. It's called Yichud V'Hizbodhidus. It's being translated into English. Oh, that's what they've been told me the last 5 years that they're translating. I don't know what's going on, but it's supposed to be coming out soon in English. But I'm sure you could all read it in Lashon HaKodesh. Yichud V'Hizbodhidus goes through this avoda of how do we move from being Hashem's subjects, and He's the King, to being children, father, wife, husband, which Chazal told us that we have this. It's the Chiddush of Shir Hashirim is that there's also an inyan of Imi, of that Hashem calls Klai Yisrael His mother. There are different relationships, like you said, Bitzal. And there in Yichud V'Hizbodhidus, there Rav Kluger goes through each of these relationships and explains how each one of them can be used in our Avodas Hashem. As a manual of entering into His bodhidus, each of these relationships, how they can be used when speaking to Hashem. There are times that we address Him as Melech. And there are times that it's husband and wife, it's Chas and Kal. It moves, it shifts, it's not stuck in one way. It moves around. But the ikkar is that a person should be seeking a kesher with a Kadosh Baruch. How to do that is really the svarim of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, especially Chelek Aleph and Beis, really are very much focused on how to become comfortable engaging in his bodhidus, setting a person up that he could be in the parasha of his bodhidus. To live without it, there are very fine Jews that live without it, but it's a different kind of a life. Rabbi Nachum once said that when a person is going, he compared regular davening to his bodhidus. Rabbi Nachum said that when a person goes down a regular road, he goes the same time every day down that road, then the listim, the ganovim, they know to wait for him. They know that this guy, whatever his name is, Schwartz, that 9 o'clock in the morning, he comes over here, he's got money, and the guys are waiting to list him. So Rabbi Nachum said, davening has its shachas minchamar, has its set time, even set place. And the Ganovim know to wait for you in that place. His bodhidus, he says, means taking side streets. And there there you get the listam confused, you get the Ganovim confused. You could take side streets to get to Hashem. Different roads, different ways. That you make yourself. Different roads that lead to Hashem as well. A person has to be in the parasha of wanting that. One thing that, look, this is the difference. There's 2 minutes, I'll tell you this. Why did Yisro have to come? Might as well put something from the parish a little bit, not just a little bit. Why did Yisro have to come? It's Vayishma Yisro. So he heard the whole story when he was still a Midian, right? He heard the whole Maisa. So Yishma Yisra, he heard the whole story. And then seven psukim later, we find that he came to Moshe Rabbeinu and Vayichad Yisra, got all excited and spoke. Why did Yisra have to make the trip? So Rashi of course says that he wanted to hear more of the Pratim, because the Pratim is Limshech HaSaleif, Rashi says. When he came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu filled him in on the missing pieces. In other words, he didn't get the whole article back in Midian. He didn't get everything he wanted to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. And by Moshe Rabbeinu, he got all of the Pratim. And in Mela, there was more excitement. Like Rashi says, Limshech HaSaleif. In order to draw his heart, limshech his libo. So you see, Yisro didn't stay in Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu could have sent him shluchim. The Svarim tells that Yisro had at his disposal the Masechta of Adazarah from Avraham Avinu had 400 prakim in it. The Chazal tells us Yisro was a brilliant person. Moshe Rabbeinu could have sent him a couple of melamdim. Yisro could have learned all about Yitzias Mitzrayim. He could have learned all about Hashem from some Malamdim that would have come to him to teach him, to explain to him over there in Midian. Why did Yisro feel that it was necessary to go to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why? So same, the Gemara says, and the Gemara brings brachas that from Elisha, sheyotzak mayim al-yedei Elio, right? The Elisha went to serve and pour water over the hands of Elio. There's a difference between talking about Hashem and having a relationship with Him. There's a difference between reading Torah and a Sefer, learning Torah and a Sefer, or hearing stories about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and going to see Moshe Rabbeinu. What Elisha was looking for was not just the Torah of Elio, he was looking for Elio himself. For Elio himself. That's what he was looking for. There are people who spend their entire lives talking about Hashem, learning about Hashem. Even when they speak the words of davening in the morning, in their minds it's more about translating words and issues in halacha that come up in davening, but not a relationship. Not a relationship, a living relationship. The reason that Yisro couldn't bear remaining apart from Moshe Rabbeinu is because he didn't just want to know about God, he wanted to meet God. And the only place that you could meet Hashem is by the tzaddik. He couldn't just hear or get text messages or Google it on his computer, Yitzias Mitzrayim or God. He wanted to meet Him. He wanted to go likras ha'elokim. Likras ha'elokim. It's an interesting thing. It used to be that in the European yeshivas, I grew up, not there, I grew up here, but I grew up, all my rebbeim were from that world. And when they would speak about a certain Jew, they would say, Ezra Baruch Be is a Talmud. Ehud Galem Be Baruch Be. Ehud Galem Be Shim. They didn't say he learned in yeshiva Shar HaTorah of Grodno. That was the official name. Ehud Galem, he learned by Reb Shimon. Is there any difference? He learned by Baruch Ber. They didn't say whatever it was called, Knesset Yitzchak, I don't remember, of the Slobodka. Ehud Galem by Baruch Ber. That's how the Jews used to talk. There's something very beautiful about that. I think you understand the difference. Is the difference between a person whose Yiddishkeit is institutional Yiddishkeit, or it's personal Yiddishkeit? Ezra Baruch, Ehud Galem by Baruch Ber, Ehud Galem by the Chavetz Chaim means he didn't just learn in the yeshiva. He didn't just go there to hear Shir. He went there to absorb the Chafetz Chaim himself. He went to receive the Chafetz Chaim, to draw into his existence the Chafetz Chaim. Ze mashu acher legamrei. Asher yotzek mayim et Elio, Elisha didn't go, he didn't set out to go to sit by Elio Novi with his computer to take notes. Maybe he did that too. That's not why he went. That's not why he went. He went there because he wanted that connection. He wanted to have that connection to Elio Novi. It's the same thing when it comes to us. The Baruch Shalom wants us. It's Panecha Hashem Vakesh. Bakshu Panai. Bakshu Panai. Seek me out. Bakshu Panai. It's a different davening. It's a different way of learning Torah. It's a different life. That life of Bakshu Panai is impossible without his Baruch. And even people you'd never ever dream, had the Chaznish they found in his standard, Lekutei Tefilas, he used to keep hidden in his standard, Reb Nosson's Lekutei Tefilas. There are many, many stories like this. The people who are big tzaddikim, I'm not just talking about people who know how to learn, people who are big tzaddikim, they're all in the parasha of having a personal relationship with Hashem. They're all part of that Bakshu Panai. Seek my face. Look for me. It's not just a, it's a din in Bakashas Apana. And what that means in Halacha. It means something very personal and something which is very intimate. Which is how the Nevi'im, which is Biyad Nevi'ech, Biyad Nevi'ech, which is how the Nevi'im had relationship with Hashem. That's how the Baruch Shalom wants us to relate to him as well. Okay, we should bezeich the taste of that. Take a look at some of these things. I think it could be life-changing. Baruch HaVatzlach.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.